Welcome to Believe in Rams, part of the Believe Network. Erin Coscarelli here. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast. You can also catch us on Believe TV, read the top Believe stories at si.com, and follow us on all the socials. All right, guys. Today we have a super awesome guest, arguably the busiest man on the planet, certainly 2 weeks ahead of draft day, free agency. He is NFL Network's NFL insider. Ian Rappaport is going to be joining us. And I've worked with him many years during my time at NFL Network. And that guy is one of the most dialed in, finger on the pulse, knows everything that's going on in the league. And it's the perfect time to get him because he is going to be incredibly busy on April 25th, which is the first round of the NFL draft coming up. And I want to ask him, what is he hearing in the rumor mill when it comes to the Rams? You know, we've had a handful of guests come on and sort of, you know, toss around the idea of what the Rams are going to do with that first round pick they haven't had since 2016. So it'll be exciting to kind of have Ian, who knows everything that's going on in the NFL. I'm going to also kind of maybe see if he'll give us anything about his family life. He's got two sons, and you know, does the wife, his amazing wife Leah, does she get mad when Ian's getting phone calls at, you know, midnight or 2 a.m. that news needs to be broken? I mean, that's part of the deal in the NFL when you are an NFL insider. So we'll get the full scope. I am really excited to have him on. Without further ado, let's talk to Ian. Well, I am so stoked to have NFL Network's NFL insider Ian Rappaport with us. Ian, first of all, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. We've got a lot, you know, to get to with, of course, regards to the Rams, the upcoming draft. But I did want to mention that it's not really lost on me. You could quite literally be the busiest man for sure during football season. So huge thanks to actually making time right now. But I also read somewhere that you would occasionally brew coffee without actually putting the coffee in coffee maker. Is that something that still happens, or has anything like that actually happened lately to you?
That itself has not happened lately, but that does happen. So basically what that is a reference to is during free agency, when it's like the craziest time ever, I go upstairs, I have two kids, I have a wife, I try to be around even though I'm crazy busy, and I'll like start making coffee, and then I'm just like, take a text and take a call and tweet something, and then you realize you forgot to put the coffee pot on. So I try during free agency, I try to not be here. Like, don't pretend to be here. Don't pretend to be present. I'm not present. So just get out of the way, let everyone do their thing, and I will just sit down in my office and work, which is a method that seems to be going very well.
I was going to actually ask you what part of the season the coffee incident happened. So would you say free agency, as we on NFL Network would call free agency frenzy, that's the craziest time for you, is the free agency time of the season?
Yeah. I mean, there's other busy times, you know, around the trade deadline during the season, coaching search season is tough. You know, the 2 weeks before the draft, which we're about to get into now, is pretty insane. But free agency is the one where, like, you're really not sure what's happening. You're not sure what's up or down. You get 4 hours of sleep. You're taking calls in the middle of the night. I mean, Sam Darnold signed with the Vikings. I took a call at 1:30 a.m. to break it. You know, that's just that's just what it is. And it's, you know, people act like it's supposed to be fun. Like, it's not fun. It's insane. And when it's over, you're like, all right, cool. It's over. It's awesome.
Well, all I have to say is thank God for Leah, because does that happen when, like, you guys are asleep and she's next to you and you get a call at 1:30 in the morning? Does she, like, give you the evil eye in the morning? She, like, thinks a lot?
No, her she has tuned it out, so, like, whatever has happened naturally. So, like, my alarm she doesn't hear, and when my phone rings she doesn't hear. So she will sort of like have a vague knowledge that something happened, but her body doesn't react anymore, which, you know, thank God, because I don't think she would care very much about a Sam Darnold signing. I think she'd be more like, I really need to sleep. You got to stay in another room.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting, actually, as we start to get into the Rams, Aaron Donald's wife, I believe her name's Erica, did a really compelling interview with Donald about his legacy. And of course, it made me think of all the amazing women behind these, you know, big, powerful, busy guys, one of which was is someone like you, and how much of a sacrifice it is to be in that partnership. And, you know, what is it like for Leah? I feel like we need to get her on one of these days. But what is it like for her? Because she was a Starbucks manager, right? So, of course, she loves coffee too. But she – and now she's, like, full-time, kind of takes care of things to make, like, Ian's life a little bit easier with the craziness that you end up handling, right?
Yeah, she's basically, like, the office manager, but for our family. So – you know, when someone would be like, oh, you don't work? She'd be like, I'm much busier now than when I was working. And that is definitely true. I mean, she does a lot of things at the kids' school and you know, local associations on boards and that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, she has got it down to a science where she runs our world really well. You know, my job is strange. And, you know, I'm relied on for some things. Like I just come back from hockey practice just now for my oldest, for instance. But you know, the way she runs it, it makes it manageable and palpable. And I think that's really good. It's, you know, having that partnership is I don't think I would be able to do this job otherwise. And, you know, to the amount of times that I'll have to be, we're in a conversation, I get a call and I'm like, all right, I just have to leave. And she will never say anything. You know, that's a pretty great thing because she knows if I'm taking a call, it's got to be worth it.
And I love how you speak about her because it does sound like you really appreciate someone like that in your life. And of course, it's not easy. You have two kids. And does the conversation ever come up like, okay, you know, you're leaving, your son's in the middle of, you know, maybe hockey practice. Does she give you more like laundry day duties? Does that ever happen? Or like you need to do dishes on Friday?
I do dishes every night and I do laundry when I so that those are my jobs. Everyone has jobs. Every marriage is different, you know, so there's plenty of things that I don't do. But I do all the laundry and I do all the dishes. I unless I'm smoking meats, I'm not doing any of the cooking, but we have a pretty good system of divided household chores and whatnot. I do laundry because I can take phone calls, put my AirPods in and, you know, do interviews, do calls, do radio interviews, whatever, while I'm folding laundry. So that's kind of a good job for me. And I would say somewhat similar to washing dishes, you can sort of do something else while you're doing it.
I love that. So if like we hear over the radio, there's like some dishes clinking, we know you might be doing some dishes that night.
That's correct.
I love that. Well, what would you say is the most chaotic place you've ever broken news?
Like, you just see that? So no. I'm in my office.
Okay.
And my TV is done for the night.
Okay.
And they shut my lights off because Los Angeles controls my lights. And they shut my lights off. So hang on 1 second.
Nice.
Hang on 1 second.
Oh, wow. I love this. I had no idea. So LA is where the network is.
Yep.
SoFi.
So when I'm done with TV, they turn the lights off. And so they didn't know I'd be doing this podcast, so they turn my lights off. Anyway, go ahead.
Does that know? I mean, so it's 5 o'clock in Los Angeles. They know like Ian's no longer. I mean, unless it's
I mean, Total Access. I was on Total Access tonight. Total Access is now over, so TV is done.
Okay, in the middle, nice. Well, okay, so that brings me to my question that I was asking. What would you say is the most chaotic place you've ever broken news? Like, I'm thinking kids' birthday party where, you know, there's like a bouncy house and you're watching your two sons and all of a sudden, you know, something crazy happens, Sam Darnold news, you need to leave. Like, where would you say the most chaotic places that you've ever
All the places you could ever imagine. I broke the Justin Fields trade from the Bears to the Steelers, stepping outside hibachi for my son's 9th birthday party. That was fun. And I think I got a look of like, why are you leaving? And then I was like banging on the glass, telling my wife to look at her phone. She's like, oh, got it. That was a good one. I broke the Baker Mayfield trade to the Panthers while on the 16th green at Congressional playing golf. There's been some fun ones, and that is like, my life is hectic and crazy, but that is one good thing, is you can really take a call and be anywhere. I've broken news on chairlifts. I broke Tom Telesco being the hired as general manager of the Raiders while about to get on a chairlift at a, you know, ski place near us. Like, it's, you know, that's what it's like. And I'm okay with that. I'm at peace with all of that, because I like my job.
Yeah. Well, and you're great at it. And it sounds like it's exhilarating and possibly also dangerous if you're jumping on a chairlift, because I've seen things go awry, myself included, trying to get off of a chairlift recently. But that's amazing. I mean, I think, yes, what you have to do, it is a sacrifice. And the people around you really kind of understand. And, you know, your relationship with your wife, it just sounds like you guys have an ultimate partnership that works for you guys. What would you say, you know, because now we're in the off season, of course, things like you mentioned are going to ramp up in the next couple of weeks. What does a typical day in the life of Ian Rappaport look like for you?
I mean, after the draft, it will usually involve golf or some sort of beach club. But before the draft, or really during the, you know, the guts of the season, I mean, it's basically kind of like you'd expect. It's wake up, make a lot of phone calls, have a lot of conversations, break news when necessary. And then, you know, we'll have TV shows throughout the day. So I'm on Good Morning Football several times. I'm on Insiders in the middle of the day. Then I'm on Total Access at night. So, you know, it goes from basically every day from 7 a.m. to probably 8 p.m. With news coming at various times. And, you know, sometimes I'm at my kids' sports. I'm driving them to practice. I'm taking them wherever. And sometimes I'm sitting in this office, you know, by myself breaking news. So,
and your office where your lights went out, it's, can you explain? It's what? It's like your man cave or like a basement in your house, right?
Yeah, I mean, our basement is like right out there. So it's like a little storage room outside our basement, but they've turned it into this like beautiful office, which, you know, is really great because, you know, again, if we're watching football on Sunday and news breaks, I just pop in here, break some news, and go back out with everybody else.
Which is actually kind of convenient. Let me ask you this question, because I've felt this challenge in my respective position as a reporter, when I was a reporter, but it was when I was covering baseball. Have you ever, Ian, befriended like an athlete and then you had to do a report on him where, you know, maybe what you were going to report was going to be a little dicey? Said athlete get mad at you and share that he was not so pleased with what you said?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not friendly with a ton of athletes just because I'm not in locker rooms really anymore. You know, some, but not a ton. But it does happen with general managers, with coaches, with agents, you know, people all across the league. And, you know, it's not my favorite, but it is a reality. It happens a lot when an agent you're friendly with, one of his players, does something bad, really bad, you know, and you have to report on it or gets busted for something. And, you know, when I kind of first started, I used to dread it. And what I would do is report something, then just kind of brace for the phone call. Now I take the opposite approach, where if I'm going to report something, I will always call whoever it is, whoever I'm going to piss off, I will always call them beforehand and be like, this is what I have. Here's how I know. This is what I'm going to say. And when you're transparent and upfront, it's much harder to be mad. You let everyone weigh in at the beginning, you know, whether it's no comment or whether it's a comment or something like that. But if you can just suck it up and be transparent at the beginning, it makes life easier, because they know, like, you're doing your job, you're being fair, you're being real. And you're also giving them a chance to respond and weigh in before anything becomes public. And, you know, not everybody likes it, but I do feel like people appreciate it.
I think that's a incredible piece of advice for life, to be honest. You know, if you can just be truthful and honest and share things transparently, whether it's breaking news in the NFL or just telling a best friend how you're feeling. I really think that that's actually great advice for your kids. In fact, you have two young sons, right?
I do.
Okay.
9 and 10. Yep.
9 and 10. Do they know what dad does and do they think it's super cool?
They know all about what I do. Okay. We talk about it all the time. You know, if I break something, they are excited. If I don't, they'll say like what happened or who broke it. I don't think they think it's very cool, being totally honest. They really don't. I mean, they think it's cool when it involves them. Like when they wander into the screen, when I'm on like the Pat McAfee show or something like that, they think it's cool when they're on. When we get to do fun things, like we were at WrestleMania a couple of days ago, they liked that. They thought that was pretty cool. But me being like, for my oldest, especially, his friends are starting to realize what I do and they think it's cool. And he's just kind of like, man, because that's what their life is. To them, this is a very normal existence.
Yeah. I would liken that to someone who lives by the beach and they're like, we just have water here all the time. So when someone comes maybe from the Midwest, they're not as like, oh, the beach, you know, it's super cool.
It's like, obviously the beach is here. This is every day.
Yeah, exactly. You were at WrestleMania. I saw that. As we lean into discussing this as a Rams show, we had Marshall Faulk on maybe a couple weeks ago. And we were talking about number 99, Aaron Donald hanging it up. He's thinking either he might come back or there's a chance we see Donald in Hollywood. What do you think the likelihood of this guy partnering with what people are rumoring? Maybe The Rock in the ring? Could you seriously see Aaron Donald in the world of wrestling?
First of all, I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah.
The sense I get is he is very much at peace and it was very much time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you're Aaron Donald, like, you're one of the greatest ever. You've won a Super Bowl. Like, what do you need to, you know, million-time defensive player of the year? Like, what do you made millions, hundreds of millions? What do you need to accomplish?
Well, I think, first of all, I think fans didn't see it coming, whereas maybe Sean McVay did, or there were some inklings of it. But
a lot of people in the business that did, you know, like when he signed that deal a couple years ago, it was supposed to be a 3-year deal and he'd play the first two. And then the last year was just in case. You know, there was even whispers then. I had always heard that his wife thought he should be a Hollywood action hero. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does that because he'd be great at it. He really would. I mean, it'd be perfect for it. Looks like one anyway. Wouldn't even have to dress up, you know?
He wouldn't have to dress. I mean, no, he could just be Aaron Donald and scare the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, just be Aaron Donald.
But I think to be the contrarian, I think he didn't have any let up. You know, he, for the 10 seasons that he played, he was an all first team all pro in 8 of the 10 seasons, including last year, right? I mean, he was so solid year in, year out, you know, unless he was just feeling like he didn't want to slip. I think that was what obviously Rams fans are sad about, is that he didn't, there was zero give on his, you know, performance on the field.
Yeah. I get that. Football is really hard. I mean, it is really hard. And when you get to a point where you've made enough money, you've accomplished everything, like, you don't need to put yourself through that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the actual games are awesome, but, you know, from talking to guys who've been in that position, that's not the issue. It's practices. It's workouts. It's
camp.
Being away from your family. It's camp. Mm-hmm. It's all the things. And, you know, really what Aaron Donald did was he lived a dream. He got to walk away at playing his best, healthy, no major injuries. Just a total rock star. That's what everybody should aspire to. I understand why fans are sad, but like, if we all could accomplish a little of what Aaron Donald did during his time in his profession and while leaving it, we would all be very lucky.
Yeah. No, of course. I mean, to go out in that way, where he isn't slipping, where, you know, like, let's take Tom Brady, and actually Marshall and I did talk about this. And you're very familiar with when the athlete does retire, it's that time when it's quiet, when all the guys do go to camp, and then you start to sort of sink into a depression or sink into that solitude of, I don't know, would you call it an identity issue or an identity change that so many of these players kind of struggle with when it's either a retirement like Donald or even a season-ending, career-ending injury?
I'm sorry, I lost that last part. Say that last part again.
Oh, well, I was just saying what Marshall had alluded to, which is what happened to him and so many guys when they retire, is it gets quiet. It's that time when the guys leave for camp, and then they kind of go, wow, well, who am I really now? And you struggle with sort of that identity shift, don't you think?
No, that's and I think that's one of the toughest things is, like, you know, for so long – you're identified with what you do. And I think it's hard for some guys to step out and be like, this is just what I do. It's not who I am. And, you know, I mean, it's going to get quiet. It's going to get hard. But on the other end, he's not going to get hit all the time. And I think he'll appreciate that part of it.
I do know you are on limited time, so I will ask you these two questions with regards to the Rams. Draft needs. Of course, now the question is replacing Aaron Donald. They have that number 19, their first round pick since, I want to say, 2016. What is your sense, the whispers you're hearing coming out of LA with Les Snead and Sean McVay, and what they may do on that first round Thursday draft day?
Well, I think one thing we've learned from the Rams is they can hit the draft hard and do really well, whether or not they have a first rounder. I mean, they've drafted incredibly well without a first rounder. And I think they've also put themselves in position because they have so many good young players. They can just take whatever. I mean, would defensive tackle would make sense if the value was right. Receiver would make sense. I know they've done a lot to improve the offensive line. I could see some more. I mean, I think they're fine. They're at a place where, because they've improved so much and have so many young, good players playing, they can kind of take whatever. I'm actually interested to see, like, it's been a while since the Rams have actually had a first round pick. So that'd be kind of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
You think they're going to stick and pick? Like, there's some rumors trading up, trading down, getting more players. You see, you're believing that they will pick at number 19?
You know, I would, with the Rams, it's always something. So, you know, being boring and sticking and picking and taking the best player available, like, I think it's possible, but I'll believe that when I see it. They'll have something in store for us. They always do.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for the time. You are quite possibly, arguably, the busiest man on the planet, especially as we lead up to draft day on April 25th. Thank you again for joining us.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. How cool is Ian, right? Ian Rappaport, thank you so much for jumping on and sharing your perspective, your opinions, your family life. Really cool that he built sort of a basement studio and dedicates, you know, a full-time committed sacrifice in a lot of ways to break news. I mean, that's his job. He's got to break news in the NFL. And even though there's a season, the off season is just as busy, where free agency, as you mentioned, is the craziest time for him. Also drafts, also the draft, also, you know, Black Friday when they're changing coaches. It's just so interesting to sort of peel back the layer of what Ian Rappaport does, you know, on camera and off camera. And that'll do it for this episode of Believe in Rams. Thanks, guys, so much for listening, and we will talk to you later.